I believe I'm just going to start preaching. Is that all right? I'm speaking from this simple topic, decision made. Decision made. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you want to do in this place. I thank you that you are here moving among us. I ask, Lord, that you would help us today, Lord, that we would walk in one way, but we would leave a different way. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. I'm speaking from this topic, decision made. Many of us are facing so many decisions in our lives. I mean, it's the world we live in. We're going from decision, from choice to choice. We have so many things we have to think about, so many things we have to choose. I asked ChatGPT, and it said that we make up to 10,000 decisions a day. That is a lot. And we have to think. We have to think, where are we going to live? Who are we going to hang out with? What are we going to do? We have so many things on our mind. I mean, somebody right now is thinking, am I going to the Olive Garden? Am I going to Texas Roadhouse? Where am I going to eat after church today? We just have so many choices in front of us. And, you know, the world we live in today doesn't make it easy. We have it all at our fingertips. We have so many things available to us, so many opportunities. But I came today, and I feel charged by the Lord to ask you this simple question and to ask you to make this decision. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 reads like this. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. So whether you know it or not, you're following something. You're worshiping something. You're giving your attention. You're placing something on your heart. And it can be things of this world. It could be gods of the world. It could be the Baals. It could be whatever it is. Or it can be the Lord. Atheists like to claim that they don't worship anything. I believe that they just worship themselves. I believe that they worship their own ideas because everybody has something that they're following. And what I've come to challenge you with today is that question again. Who are you going to follow? If it's Baal, fine, follow him. But if it's the Lord, then the times that we are living in, it is time to truly follow him without reservation. It's time to put the Lord on the rightful place of our hearts and put everything else to the wayside. And I can assure you today that if you choose to follow the Lord, if you choose to give him everything that you are and leave nothing else withholding from him, then you will see blessing in your life. Choosing the Lord is always better. And that's the decision I want everybody to come to, is that it's time to follow the Lord. I'm going to be preaching from a few different texts in the Bible. So you can follow on the screen or you can flip through your Bible. But starting with Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. It reads like this: "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' So he said, 'I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.'" Moses is being asked by God. If you don't know anything about the story of Moses, he's this Hebrew, but he's serving in the house of Pharaoh. He's considered one of Pharaoh's sons. He's very high up in the Egyptian royalty, and he has everything that he wants. He has everything that he needs, but he ends up going away from all that because he sees his people's oppression. He sees his people being abused, and out of anger, he kills one of the abusers, one of the Egyptian slave masters, and so he must flee. And at this point, he fled, and he's serving his father-in-law as a shepherd. And God meets him on this mountain in the form of a burning bush, and he charges Moses with a decision. He says, "You see my people and their oppression. You see my people in bondage. You see my people in slavery. So now, Moses, I am charging you. What decision are you going to make? what decision are you going to make? What are you going to do? We got to decide something right here on this mountain. And Moses didn't quite feel qualified to do it. Moses didn't feel like he had the skill set. Moses felt like he couldn't communicate. He had this speech impediment. He had something holding him down. He felt like he had bondage. He felt like he had weight. He felt like he can't do what God has called him to do. And if I'm being honest with you today, I don't always feel like I'm the best communicator. I don't always feel like I'm the best preacher when I get asked to do these certain opportunities, but I made a decision in an altar kind of similar to this one that I'm not gonna let the doubt steer the direction of my life. Because that's exactly what the enemy is doing. He's whispering lies of inadequacy. He's whispering lies of not enough. He's whispering lies of you'll never make it to where you wanna be. That's his strategy. That's what he tries to do. But we have to make a decision today not to listen to the enemy, because God has already made his decision about us. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He has plans to give you a hope and a future. He has plans to make you the head and not the tail. He has plans to bless you going in and coming out. Our God has made a decision about you this morning, and his decision is to bless and keep you. That's our God. That's his promises. So Moses' obedience allowed him to overcome his struggle, but also lead his people out of slavery. I wonder this morning if anybody's faced with a similar burden. You're faced with the decision of how to lead a family. You're faced with the decision of how to lead a business. You're faced with the decision of how to go forward, and you're trying your best to honor God. But I can assure you this morning, whatever the enemy might be tempting you with to maybe, I'm just not going to give it everything I got, or I don't need to make it to church this Sunday. I don't need to honor God with my tithe. Maybe that's what the lie is whispering to you today. But I can assure you, if you choose to decide to follow the Lord, there is blessings that follow. There is always blessing. Because ultimately, Moses freed those people from slavery. He got those people out of the land of Egypt, and now they're walking through the wilderness, and they're struggling, and they're trying to find their way. But Moses' obedience wasn't just about him; it affected a generation that would come after, and that generation is seen in the person of Joshua. And now this man Joshua has the responsibility of leading the Israelites. And he leads them for years through the wilderness, but he's holding on to this promise. He's holding on to this idea that he is going to see the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And he gets to a very old age, and he gathers them all up at the base of this mountain, and he decides to go up to this mountain, and he has to hear from the Lord. And in Joshua 24, verses 13 through 15, it reads like this: I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father, which your father served on the other side of the river, the god of the Amorites in the land whom you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Israelites are being faced with the decision. Who are they going to serve? And we're faced with that same decision just 4,000 years later. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the gods of those around us? Are we going to serve what everybody else is serving? Are we going to serve the Lord? And I want to work through this text a little bit, because there's a lot of good stuff in here that we can learn from and we can take from. Listen to this part. It says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. I want to ask you today is, are we going to let the way our parents did it steer the direction of our life? Maybe you think something like this: my dad drank, so I guess that's always going to be the way I deal with my pain. Or my parents got divorced, so I guess that's why my marriage is falling apart. Or I've only ever been around poverty my entire life, so I guess I'll always be broke. I mean, those are the questions we face. We're faced with influences. We're faced with ideas with the way we're being raised and the people around us. We have, just like the Israelites, all these gods and ideas around us. It's the culture we live in. But we have to make a decision for ourselves. Who are we going to follow? So I ask you today, who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the ways of the world, or are you going to follow Jesus? Because Jesus can break the cycle of addiction off of your life. Jesus can restore a failing marriage. Jesus can make a way where there seems to be no way. And I'd rather follow that God this morning. That's the God I choose. That's the promises I trust in, because my God is greater than the things that this world can promise. Keep on working through the text. It says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They're surrounded everywhere, on every side. In this region of the Mediterranean, in the greater Mesopotamian area, they have a lot of different cultures and subsects and different religions and different nations and city-states, and they all seem to worship their own gods and have their own practices, and they have a lot of influences around them. And Joshua sees this, and he sees the people that he's leading and what they are faced with, so he realizes that he has to make a decision that him and his house will serve the Lord. I wonder today if somebody needs to make a decision about their house. I wonder today if somebody needs to make a decision about who your family is going to serve. Because the people and this nation, they're serving their own God. They're serving their own ideas. They're serving the donkey or the elephant. Everybody's serving something. But as for me and my house, we must serve the Lord. It's becoming a non-negotiable. We're getting to church on Sundays. It's becoming a non-negotiable. We're getting around the family dinner table and we're talking about the Lord, because me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You might be thinking, how can I make a decision to follow the Lord when it seems like nobody in my house wants anything to do with him? Nobody wants to serve him. Nobody wants to follow him. How can I make that decision today? Well, you need to realize the power of the name of Jesus. It doesn't really matter if your kids are far from God, if they're going away. You start. It says, as for me and then my house. As for me and my house, it starts with me. I'm choosing right now that I'm getting up early and I'm praying. I'm putting oil over the door frames. I'm not allowing my kids just to hang out with anybody, because as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And if you keep praying for them, if you keep tarrying after the Lord, if you keep interceding, then something has to shift, because the enemy's plans cannot stand in the name of Jesus. That is what the name of Jesus does. It can move mountains. It can take people out of the hands of the enemy. That's what the name of Jesus does. Continuing to work through this text, it says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Look at all these things the Lord did for his people. He's given them, look, I've given you land you didn't even work for, and cities you didn't even build. I've given you vineyards and olive groves and these crops and these things. You didn't even plant them. Look at what the Lord is doing for his people. They didn't even work for it. They didn't even have to stress over these decisions, that these little minor things that we worry about. My pastor at Free Chapel, he calls it majoring over the minors. We tend to major over the little things in our life. I mean, we let everything shake us. We let everything bring us down. We let everything just consume us. But we need to stop stressing over every little decision in our lives. We need to worry about the one decision, and that decision is to follow Jesus. That decision is to serve him faithfully. a popular thing in my generation, it almost seems like a trend, is to think so much about the purpose of our lives and what we're going to do. And that's a good thing. And if you're thinking about that, you should continue to try to honor the Lord in that. But when I was choosing where I was going to school, I felt like I started late. Everybody in my senior class seemed to have all of their, what they call the Common App done, all their applications done, and I felt like I was 2 or 3 months in, and I wasn't even really thinking about college. I was just kind of enjoying my senior year, and I was starting to think, okay, I want to pursue ministry. I want to go somewhere to learn about the things of the Lord and the things of ministry. And so I started to look at different schools, a school in Texas, and I looked at Free Chapel College, and I decided to go to their, what they call a preview day, to experience the school and see what it's all about. And to be honest with you, I went there, and I still didn't know if I was going to go to the school after coming back. And that's kind of how decisions go sometimes. I mean, not everything is going to be written in the sky. We tend to over-spiritualize things a little bit. We tend to worry about things a little bit. But once you make this major decision of who we're going to follow, are we going to follow the world or are we going to follow the Lord, then everything seems to fall into place. I don't believe that I'm blessed because I chose the right school or I've chose the right friends. I believe that I'm blessed because I chose the Lord, and the Lord has his favor on my life. 2 Chronicles 26:5 reads like this: He sought the God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. His success was in his seeking. Just keep seeking, just keep knocking, and the door will be opened. We don't have to major over the minors. We just need to think about this one decision. Who are we going to follow? And moving on, you know, Joshua made his decision, and ultimately the Israelites fell into their promised land. And then moving 2,000 years later, we're seeing this story in Mark. Jesus enters the scene, and he's doing incredible miracles around the land. And everywhere he goes, he's blessing people, and he's healing people, and people are overcoming things. And I want to pick out this one story in Mark 5, verse 25 through 28. And it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians," meaning she had all these treatments, she had all these things told to her, but none of them really worked. "And she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" The band can come. I don't preach long. I don't take long on this. She's saying, "If I may only touch his clothes, if I can only get a touch, if I can only get in." I can imagine how big this crowd is. I mean, Jesus at this point is pretty big. He's pretty popular, and wherever he goes, he's claiming to be the Son of God. He's doing miraculous things. He's healing people, so people are always trying to get in. People are trying to get a little closer. Everybody wants to see him. But there was a woman who was different. And there was a woman, she had this different desire in her. She wanted to get closer. She had to get closer. She had to get something from this man because she knew that this man was different. She knew that this was her only chance to get what she needed. She knew this was her only chance to get what she came for. So she didn't just wait. She didn't just stay in the back of the crowd and like, "Oh, I guess this is, I missed the chance. You know, somebody's in my way. I can't really get there." No, that's not what she did. She made a decision that she couldn't just be a spectator, but she had to get a touch. I wonder if there's anybody like that this morning who's in this place where, "Man, everything is pressing in against me. Everything is going wrong. My family's a mess. My finances are failing. My marriage is falling apart. I just seem surrounded." But I can encourage you this morning that if you would only just get a touch, if you could only just get a glimpse of the love and the power that he has, your whole life can change. Your whole situation can change for the better. We need to make a decision this morning not to just come to church to go through the motions, not to just come to church and let somebody else praise for me and let somebody else shout for me. No, you got to make a decision. I'm coming because I need a touch. I need to get something from this God who is greater. I need to get something from this God who is good. We need a touch. What's funny about this woman is people at this time, in this culture, if they had an issue, like such as an issue with the flow of blood, they were completely rejected by their society. She was considered an outcast. She wasn't allowed in all of the circles. She probably really didn't even have a home in the traditional sense. She didn't have a husband. And she actually, when she came into an area, she had to tell people by Jewish customs that she was unclean. Imagine walking into this room and like, I'm unclean, get away, 6 feet, stay back, I'm not clean, you don't want to get near me. But she had to make a decision in this moment. She had to decide that the trauma of what she's been through can't be the truth of her future. She had to get a touch. I wonder if there's somebody in the room who's been through something, who's been through things I can't even imagine. You don't even know what you're speaking to today, Jude. You don't know what I've been through, but I know a woman who's been through a lot. And she decided that I can't let the trauma of what I've been through be the truth of what my life is going to be. Somebody needs to make that same decision this morning, that if you could only get a touch, if you could only just touch the hem of his garment. My generation seems to struggle so much with anxiety and depression, and I can say that because I've struggled with those things too in my past. And whatever this issue might be for you this morning, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, whether it's a failing marriage, whether it's finances, if you could just come today and just get a touch, just press in like you've never done before. Because listen to what happens in verse 34. And he said to her, this is Jesus speaking, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." We serve that same God this morning, that same God who heals, that same God who delivers, that same God who sets free. So I wonder today if there's anybody who needs a touch. If you're just looking, if you're just, I just need to get in a little more. I just need something from this God. Then I wonder today if we could just stand to our feet. I'm closing. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a holy moment. If you're saying, Jude, I'm that person that you're speaking to, I'm that person that you're talking to, I've been through the ringer, I need a touch, would you just raise your hand this morning? I see you, I see you, I see you in the back over there. I see that hand, I see those hands. Wow, wow. There's so many people here that need a touch. So we're gonna pray for that. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for how you're moving, Lord. Lord, I thank you that your word says, by your stripes, we are healed. And by what they did to you on the cross, we are set free, God. So I thank you, Lord, that whatever this person came for today, that they would get in the name of Jesus. That something is changing, that the enemy's hand is being taken off of their lives in the name of Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in this moment of reverence, there's another decision. Somebody came for a touch and they got that, but somebody needs to make a decision of who they're going to follow. Is it gonna be the world, or is it gonna be Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I wonder today if we can just all pray in faith, all believing that we're gonna follow this God. So let's all pray. Say, Jesus, I decide to follow you. You are my God. I thank you for what you did on the cross. I receive that forgiveness. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, does somebody feel good in the room today? Is somebody grateful for what God did?